Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Today's guest is Josh Siegel, the newly elected county executive for Lehigh County. Josh steps into this role at a pivotal moment when counties aren't just administrators, but drivers of regional growth, collaboration, and trust. With experience in state government and reputation for thoughtful, people-centered leadership, Joshua now carries the responsibility of leading one of Pennsylvania's fastest-growing counties. This conversation is about more than politics. It's about leadership under pressure, building unity in divided times, and defining Lehigh County's place in the region's future. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Do you prefer Josh or Joshua?
Oh, Josh.
Okay, good. Let's start with you. What in your personal story planted the seed for public service and leadership?
It was definitely my experience growing up. So I've always talked about, you know, I kind of came of age in the middle of like George Bush's first, you know, presidency and our first term. And my dad came out to me at an early age. So my dad is a gay man. And that was a very pertinent issue at the time. And I remember being a kid growing up watching the way that people sort of talked about same-sex families and talked about, you know, kids who were raised in same-sex households. And I remember there just really being like a complete absence of voices and people willing to like stand up for families like mine and really just no one really willing to fight for people like my dad, who I loved and, you know, didn't see anything, you know, for me, it was just my dad. I didn't see anything wrong with the way he was living. And I was raised in part in a same-sex household. I think I turned out pretty good. I'm a successful young person. I'm married. I'm county executive in Lehigh. I like to think that all of that is because of the, you know, the way my dad raised me and the work ethic he gave me and the supportive environment I was raised in. And so that really kind of planted in me a sense of how important it is that the people that are at the table have to have a sense of, I think, empathy and compassion for everyone. To me, government is about evening the odds and balancing the scales so that everybody is treated fairly and with equal sense of worth. And so from, you know, really that is sort of what gave me a sense of the importance of public service and like what it means to be a leader. Because the people that are in the room are the ones that are deciding whose voices matter, who's getting left out. And frankly, you know, that always taught me you want someone in the room who's going to care about everyone and who's going to think about, you know, who are we leaving out? Who are we leaving behind? Who's getting hurt in this situation? And are we doing our best to make the world a better place for everyone? And is anyone feeling excluded? Is anyone feeling like, you know, they're not being heard, they're not being listened to? Because I think it's the worst thing is when you feel like you're left out of your own government. You feel like when you're left out by your own leaders.
And I have to say, you're probably one of the most eloquent speakers in the region. No offense, Don Cunningham, if you're listening.
I consider Don a mentor and someone.
He's such a good writer.
I grew up around Don, and Don is a friend of my family. So yeah. I like to think that maybe a little bit of it rubbed off on me. So I learned from Don. So. I will say.
I feel like sometimes you say the things that we're all thinking, right? And so I'm just curious, before public office, what early roles or experiences shaped how you show up as a leader today and why you show up as a leader today?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the most fun I ever had, like one of my favorite things I ever did. So I did speech and debate, no surprise, in high school, obviously. So that was the nerd. I played basketball, but also the nerd in me loved debate. But I continued to coach. So even after I graduated, I coached for over a decade. So I would come back and volunteer my time. And I was, you know, helping mentor kids who were like me, who were like the first real sort of participatory thing in high school. You know, it can be nerve-wracking, and you know, as confident I am as a public speaker now, I always tell people the very first time I competed, you have to speak for 4 minutes extemporaneously, and I got up and completely froze and paused and was like terrified, and I really thought I was going to quit. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Like, I apparently don't know how to speak. And I stuck through with it because I had really great coaches and I had folks who encouraged me not to give up and saw that I had like all the passion and confidence. I just didn't necessarily have like the belief in myself to express it in like a form of competition. And so I, you know, those coaches, those mentors like helped me kind of get through that. And so I continued to show up and coach like after I had graduated, and I did that for a little over a decade. And I loved it. You know, I did it while I was, you know, on city council. I did it while I had, you know, a full-time job. I continued to like drive out and help these kids. And so I don't know, for me, it's like always finding the ways that you can give back. Even before I was holding elected office, I was trying to find ways to be useful and to serve and to like make a mark in a way that I thought was positive. And it's exciting when you like, you know, the coolest thing was watching kids graduate, go off to college and like go get full careers and realize that you were like maybe a small part of giving them that sense of confidence and giving them the communication skills and that sense of worth and like purpose that, you know, you played a small role in their own success.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to think that that is sort of like the part of me that showed up before I had the chance to show up in like a formal elected capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's like the value of public service is like, you know, no matter where you're serving, no matter how small the service might be, whether it's a township or a borough, like every little decision you make in every life you impact or you touch, like there's just a thousand ripple effects that stem from it. And so the coaching debate thing was great. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I miss it.
I'm just curious, unscripted, a question for you. Do you still, in any capacity, do you get a chance to do that anymore? Or?
No, unfortunately, I just don't have the time that I used to.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of travel. It's always on the weekends. And so now, of course, like there's lots of weekend events I have to go to.
Right.
And I miss it because it was also a great chance to travel with folks. Like it was like, you know, national tournaments. So you'd be in like Chicago on Memorial Day weekend, or you'd be in Sacramento, or like we went to Omaha, Nebraska. So you get to see the country and get to see different parts. And I made great personal connections, great friends. And yeah, so unfortunately, I don't really get to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I do miss it. That was a great part of my life. I really enjoyed those experiences. And it's, I mean, you know, you meet kids who are like wise well beyond their years and like beyond smart. Who are, you know, like extremely gifted, smarter than I am. Like, you know, they are, you know, going off to be science and bio majors. And, you know, I was always the government and history nerd. But frankly, they, you know, they're some of the smartest kids I've ever met. So.
Yeah, I have a feeling, you know, there'll be some Toastmasters and or debate, you know, groups that'll probably be like, oh, how wonderful would it be to have the accounting executive?
I'd love to have the national tournament come here. It always moves to different cities.
That's
and
a good
so
idea.
So we've always... always dreamed of come to the Lehigh Valley. That would be really, really cool if it popped up in the valley. It was in Philadelphia 1 year, so I feel like it's not too much of a stretch. It's cool. It's like 5,000 kids from around the country. So we've got the hotel space. It would be neat to have them come here and compete. Usually it was at a college or university that would host. So
yeah,
it's a surreal experience, and it's neat to see like 5,000 kids all in their little suits that they, you know, like their only suit, their first suit. It's a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
And it's not just debate. Some kids do like performance art. They do poetry. They all different types of like public speaking, public performance. It's neat.
That's awesome. There's a moment when someone decides to stop watching and start leading. What pushed you to run for office? Besides, you know, standing up, you talked about your dad and whatever else, but what made you decide to actually take this role specifically?
County executive, it was really because, you know, I was a legislator, I was a city councilman, I was a state representative. But what I think is exciting about being an executive is that rather than being one of 203 or one of seven, what's just incredible about being an executive is that you get to steer the agenda and you get to act with the sense of urgency that you always feel, but you necessarily can't move on because you're, you know, one of many and you've got to, it takes forever to build consensus in a legislature. What really pushed me was like, I think this was a moment of immense need for the Valley. I think like there's so much opportunity, but there's also so many obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
There's really, this is like a moment of both incredible peril, but also like incredible potential. The Valley has, you know, really never been more prosperous and successful. We have so much to be proud about. Great quality of life, great schools, great, you know, standard of living. I mean, there isn't really a better place to like raise a family and find like belonging.
Yeah.
But we also have lots of challenges. And I just think like leadership is about urgency, action, and being decisive. And what's exciting about this role versus the roles I've had in the past is for the first time, like I have the chance to set the agenda and sort of set the table and steer us forward. I realized there was really no more time to waste. I really think that like the decisions we make now in the Valley are going to affect the next 40 to 50 years. So if we don't make them now, we don't make the right choices. I think we're going to look back in 40, 50 years and we could either look with regret or we could look back and be proud that we made the choices that we made.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have a lot going on right now. I'm going to just briefly touch on something that was announced today. We're recording on, what's today, the 30th
of
January. Eli Lilly just came into Lehigh County. A prospect like that is such a big deal.
It's massive.
It brings jobs and all these other opportunities. What excites you most about that project right now?
Well, first, it's a testament to all the folks who have come before me, honestly. Like, I think, you know, we always have to be humble and realize, like, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. And, like, we would not be here. You brought up Don Cunningham. we wouldn't really be here in the Lehigh Valley if it wasn't for a previous generation of very young and forward-thinking leaders who kind of took us from a place of decline and moved us into this, you know, modern, forward-thinking valley where we've got incredible downtowns. To me, like, Eli Lilly is a testament to what we've built here together. Like, a company that is internationally renowned, a, you know, multi-billion dollar company, is willing to choose the Lehigh Valley over any other place in the country. It's incredible. I mean, it's a $3.5 billion investment. It's 850 jobs permanent and 2,000 construction jobs. It's just transformative can be. Each one of those jobs, the permanent ones, will pay over $100,000 a year. I mean, it's going to birth a whole new, like, generation of middle-class, like, families from one development project. And that's what's exciting about the Valley, is we have so many assets and so many things that make us a draw that's just one project. There are so many other opportunities out there if we continue to build on our success and we continue to, you know, be smart, be strategic, and maximize all the things that have made us a place that businesses want to be. You know, like, if we hadn't made the right choices 25 years ago when Bethlehem Steel was shuttering and when the Lehigh Valley was going through this period of struggle, like, we wouldn't be here today welcoming Eli Lilly. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that is a testament, I think, to, like, the power of leadership and the power of local leaders who think beyond themselves, who are thinking about, you know, my term in office is 8 years or my term in office is 4 years, but what am I going to leave behind? What's my legacy? And how do I make sure that the decisions I make are going to extend well beyond my time in office?
Mm-hmm. Let me shift gears here just a little bit. Campaigning today is certainly not easy.
I don't wish it on anybody.
What did running in a politically divided climate teach you about listening, empathy, and leadership?
I think especially now, it does teach you to have, like, thick skin and not take things personally. Mm-hmm. And it definitely teaches you, you know, the importance of humility and stepping back and acknowledging that you definitely don't know everything. Like, I love campaigning because my favorite thing to do is knock doors. And I will tell you, wow, most candidates hate that. They avoid it, like, assiduously. They'll, like, pretend they did it, or they'll do the bare minimum. And they'll be like, oh, I knocked half of them, I'm good. I like knocking doors because, to me, you know, what I liked about being a legislator and what I like about county executive is these local offices are really the last time you get to have, like, an intimate relationship with your constituents. This is, like, truly on the ground. You get to hear from people directly and daily. And so I think, like, the nice thing about running for local offices and running in this environment is it does teach you to listen before you speak, and to try to find common ground. Like, I like having not tense conversations, but I like people who disagree with me. I like to debate, obviously. I love knocking on a door where somebody's skeptical of me, and by the end of the conversation, they've, like, you know, I was wrong about you, or I read wrong about you, or I see that from your perspective now. Thank you for taking the time. And I had a lot of those conversations where people were like, ah, I've heard this about you, or I'm not so sure about you, or you're too young. And there's nothing more rewarding than, like, spending, like, 15, 20 minutes on somebody's doorstep and taking them from, like, skeptical to, like, strong supporter. And I think that is, like, the power of campaigning, is, like, it does teach you to be a better person. And it does teach you to, like, open your eyes to, like, why somebody's coming at you, and not necessarily, like, democracy is about embracing our differences, not pretending they don't exist. And that's, like, the real hallmark of campaigning, is it, like, it forces you to realize, like, hey, we can think differently and we can come at things from different perspectives, but, you know, we can compromise and we can find common ground. And that's really hard now, but I will say, like, doing it at the local level shows you that we're really not that far apart on most issues, to be frank. And it helps show that a lot of our divides are arbitrary or manufactured.
What did residents across Lehigh County tell you that they want most from their county government right now?
I think the biggest thing they want, less so than just policy, is, like, responsible, like, discourse. They just want leaders who talk in a way that is sensible, responsible, that is not divisive. Like, they want folks who use their bully pulpit responsibly. They want folks who are you know, unifying, right, and aren't trying to, like, manufacture divides. I mean, that was the biggest thing people expressed to me, was just frustration with the way that, you know, our political system works, frankly, and just the sort of, we have the same conversations and the same disagreements over and over and over again. It doesn't seem like any progress is made. And so really what people want, I think, from their local leaders is folks who help them sort of, like, break down and understand where the challenges are, why problems exist, in a way that is genuine and authentic and honest, and not try to, you know, create a scapegoat or create some sort of, like, false solution or some made up answer as to why things are so broken. That is really, like, I think, what people want most. And that's what people were really just hungry for was, like I said, not just like about a new generation of leadership, but it is like a new politics. Mm-hmm. And that means like breaking out of these like, I think like arbitrary divisions, these like false binary choices, like truthfully, like people are frustrated on both sides, frankly, disappointed in both parties, rightfully so. And they really just want people who are just going to authentically say, here's the way I think we should fix this and here's why. That's really what people were saying. It's how we talk and what we talk about, less so than the specifics. It's really, they want folks who are just genuinely responsible leaders who aren't, you know, throwing fuel on the fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take us inside, if you will, mm-hmm. for a minute, election night. When the outcome became clear, what did you feel? Pride, pressure, resolve? Where were you?
I'll tell you what, a lot of exhaling, because, you know, it's a... See, the thing, you know, it's like the thing I always say is like, you know, like politics is certainly not like running a business. But like the difference is when you like start a business, you get multiple chances at a rollout, right? You can, you know, you open, you do the ribbon cutting. Maybe it's not so successful. You know, there's not just one rendering of a verdict.
Like sure.
The scary thing about election night is it's one or done. You don't get to, like a do over. And so it is anytime you see the results come in and you're like, OK, whew, all right, we did this. Like, you know, you're never quite sure. Obviously, like crazy things happen. We were very confident going into election night, but you never know. Like stranger things have happened. I mean, you know, I mean, I have watched plenty of election nights where I thought a certain candidate was going to win. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't see that happening. Oh. So you never want to be arrogant. And it was really humbling, honestly, more than anything, just because we thought we were going to win. But I was just overwhelmed by the level of support, just really, you know, like truly enamored by the level of confidence that people expressed when they voted for me. We got almost 61%.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. It's like, you know, I have to say Don won by more than I did. but second largest margin of victory in the history of like, you know, modern county execs races. So like that was very humbling as someone as young as I am, who is, you know, certainly new to an executive role, that so many folks said, you know, we have faith in you and we're going to give you a shot. I mean, really is like when you're watching those results on screen, it's breathtaking that many folks showed up and you know, we're willing to pick you.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, how exciting. And you must have gotten such an adrenaline rush, you know.
Yes, I didn't sleep at all that night.
I basically
stayed up straight through to the next morning. So,
Lehigh County is a large, complex operation, courts, human services, public safety, infrastructure. How did you set priorities on day one? And tell us a little bit about the first 100 days.
Yeah, I mean,
what to expect.
The biggest thing of all is just changing the culture of government, right? Mm-hmm. Like the first thing I did was meet with like our core teams, and like we want to change this like idea of government as no and slow to yes and go, and we want to have this like fierce sense of urgency that we have, you know, a short time. We get 4 years minimum, 8 years at best, and so we don't want to waste a single moment. And so a lot of it was like, for me, it's changing the cultural paradigm. Like I have this frustration when people say, you know, we've always done it that way, or like, you know, sufficient is satisfactory, like, you know, the bare minimum or just doing enough, like to quote unquote do the job or checking the boxes isn't going to be enough anymore. Like people are expecting their government to show up for them. They need their government to show up for them. People need to see that government can deliver and can be a force for good. Like before we got to priorities, it's a cultural shift. And that was like really the first thing, was making sure that our cabinet heads and everybody understood that like I had their back and that they were empowered to, you know, come up with solutions, work with me. Like we are going to move with a sense of urgency. And then beyond that, like we are making sure that every day we're asking ourselves, like in every respective department, how are you making sure that you're true to what I ran on, which was One Lehigh? Like how is your department making sure that people feel like as a region we're unified, that we're working collectively, that we are all in this together, and how are we advancing policies from, you know, whether it's housing or childcare or, you know, making sure people don't recidivate when they leave jail? How are we making sure that every person in the Lehigh Valley and Lehigh County is living well? Because I think that's what most people want, is they just want to live a full and fulfilling life with no regrets. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, county government is important to that. I mean, mm-hmm. we are the social safety net, right? We are there for our most vulnerable, from our youngest to our oldest. But we also do a lot around quality of life. We are a place that, you know, makes sure that you've got parks and trails to take your family to. Mm-hmm. And so our highest priority is making sure that as a region, we stay affordable and we remain like a great place for people to live, and that like every person, no matter where they start in life, can look back on their life in the valley and say that they lived a life that was well lived.
Yeah. And I have to say, what a great phrase for other leaders that are listening. No and slow to yes and go. Mm-hmm. That is like sage advice right there. How would you describe your leadership style, and how do you hold people accountable while building trust?
Yeah, I mean, my leadership style is, you know, is lead from the front and like lead by example. You know, I will say like I am in the office very early and I tend to stay well after everyone's left. I mean, my wife doesn't like it, but I usually get home at like 6:30, 7 o'clock now. Like I stay late. I'm answering emails. I'm doing things. So I always think like if you want the best out of the folks around you, you also have to lead with passion. Like, sure. You can't expect anyone to do anything you haven't done yourself. Look, over the snowstorm, I volunteered at the Y, at the warming station. So I spent Saturday helping get it set up and serving our homeless folks. Like, I think leaders lead from the front. You know, I am a big like military history buff, and the best generals ate with their troops. They slept in the trenches, you know, like they slept in the sand. Like, you, if you're not willing to stand shoulder to shoulder with people doing the work and actually like put the time and energy in, like, you can't expect anyone to match your passion or intensity. And beyond that, I think, like, you know, it's the most important way to mold good leaders is to set clear goals and directives. Like, I think the best way to hold people accountable is, look, I don't expect anyone to succeed until they have a clear sense of direction, especially in government. Like, if you have no leader at the top who's providing like a sense of perspective or a sense of priorities, like, cabinet heads can't succeed, employees can't succeed. So, like, I think it starts at the top, and like the most important thing I can do is be direct and specific and set clear goals. Like, my leadership is about, you know, here's where we need to go, here's how we're going to get there. And then I trust people. Like, you know, I'm not a micromanager. Like, I brought a good team in. I have a fantastic team at the county. Like, I delegate to them and I let them know, like, I've got your back. If you have to make a hard choice, like, I trust your judgment, and I'm going to make sure you know that I'm going to be in your corner. Like, I'm not going to second guess you. Because I think people need to feel empowered to make their own decisions and feel empowered to make their own calls, and not feel like they've got somebody leering over their shoulder or like constantly second guess their decisions. That's not good for any organization. Mm-hmm. I want people to feel like, you know, I value their knowledge and their experience.
It's an awesome proactive approach. It also lends itself to, you know, being prepared and flexible enough to be reactive, which is good, because I imagine that's going to come up too.
Definitely. And there's too many things that one, there's no way one person could possibly manage all this.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
yeah. You now represent every resident of Lehigh County. Mm-hmm. How do you turn bipartisanship from an idea into a daily practice?
A lot of it is like what I, you know, I, like I talked about, knocking doors. I think there's two types of bipartisanship. I think there's the performative kind. I think there's the type of bipartisanship where we ignore our differences and we pretend that we don't have genuine disagreements. And, you know, I think there's a tendency to associate disagreement with divisiveness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you introduce an idea that's different from what somebody else wants and that somehow is divisive. It's not. That's democracy at work. Mm-hmm. I think bipartisanship in work is having tough conversations. It's having the courage to say, I'm not going to concede in advance. I think that that is all too often what leaders do is, you know, if your definition of bipartisanship is just your, you know, not your opponent, but your opposite conceding to your positions before the conversation has even started, that's not democracy, nor is that genuine bipartisanship. That's essentially you getting your way every time. Mm. And real bipartisanship, I believe, is tough, sometimes tense conversations, sometimes, you know, recognizing that we're only going to get to 75% on some issues and 100% on others. Like, the way I think you actionalize and you operationalize bipartisanship is that you're true to yourself and you're authentic to yourself and you respect the authenticity of someone on the other side of you. And you realize that as long as you have genuine disagreements, and I think genuine is the operative word, as long as you're coming at it from, I really believe this and you really believe that, and you're not staking out a position because it's politically convenient, or you're staking out a position simply because you want to be contrarian or you want to oppose what I'm doing because of who I am. Real bipartisanship, I think, is about trying to say, well, we must value the same outcome. You know, I think most people do want the same things, right? I think most people, nobody's against affordable housing. Nobody's against, you know, more money for mental health or homelessness. It's just a question of how can we find a path where we can both feel proud about the decisions that we've made and not feel like someone's been strong-armed or that somebody's been undermined. And that's mm-hmm. tough. That's not easy. I mean, we've never been more, unfortunately, divided on paper, when in reality, I actually think that the electorate and a lot of the population is in broad and like really strong agreement about what they'd like to see done. So for me, I think it's about being honest about what bipartisanship really is, mm-hmm. because it is about coming to the table with real disagreements and negotiating them in a respectful way. And that's the biggest thing I can do, is be respectful about people who have genuine disagreements and have those really tough conversations and find the areas where we can agree and accept that we shouldn't always agree and not hold grudges because of it, right? I think that's all too often. That's the problem, is politics has gotten very petty. It's been about scorekeeping. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you didn't do what I wanted on this, so now I'm going to screw you on this priority. And that's just not good for people who care about good government. It's not good for our constituents, because nobody wins when we're keeping score.
A personal anecdote, my pop and I do not share the same politics.
Yeah.
And so we sit at the table and, you know, he says his way and I'm like, and I just said to him, I said, Pop, you're not going to change my mind and I know I'm not going to change yours. So I love you too much. Let's just go ahead and agree to disagree.
And that's all you got to do, especially, especially at the dinner table.
Exactly. Like,
you know, nobody needs to fight with their own family.
For sure. Looking ahead, what are some of the biggest opportunities you see for Lehigh County over the next 5 years?
It's certainly housing. I think, like, we have an opportunity here to welcome so many more folks. Like, I think we are fortunate to be a place so many people want to live, and that's good for us. Like, we want growth. We want more people to call the Valley home, because it's good for businesses. It's good for our school districts. It's good for, you know, our revenue. Like, we want more people to come and call the Lehigh Valley home. And I think that that's a fortunate place to be. There's so many folks who work in the Lehigh Valley but actually live outside of it. And so I think, like, those are all folks that really should call the Valley home. There's 114,000 people who, you know, work in the Lehigh Valley, but they live elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And I think every one of those, first of all, as a person on the road causing congestion, that's definitely somebody you're honking at on 22 or 378. You're definitely yelling at that driver. If they lived here, that would be much less of a problem.
Yeah.
So I think, like, housing is a tremendous opportunity. Like, we have this, like, kind of post-COVID, like, people don't need to be bound by their geography. Like, we've got lots of people who are like, hey, I don't need to live in New York or Boston anymore. Like, I can work remotely. That's a great thing. Like, we want the Lehigh Valley to have a bigger population. We want more people to call this place home. We don't want to be a place that's shrinking. We don't want to be a place that's turning residents away. That's not good for our health. One of the reasons Eli Lilly came here is because there's population growth, because people want to be here. There's a workforce. You know, I really think the biggest opportunity for the Lehigh Valley, and I think any local government, is the chance to rebuild community. I think local government is in the best place to be the antidote to, like, apathy and anger that we have as, like, neighbors, right? I think there's this, like, really festering, like, zero-sum mindset that has kind of taken root in our politics that says, like, that your success has to come at, like, my expense. And that's ridiculous. Like, I think that there's plenty of opportunity in the Lehigh Valley for everyone to succeed. And I think what's really cool about local government is, because of the things county governments do, because of the things city governments do, we invest in the things that build community. We invest in the things that get people out of their silos, off their screens, and into their neighborhoods. And there's so many opportunities for the county to use its assets, whether it's Coca-Cola Park, it's Parks and Trails, you know, working with our partners and, you know, like Arts Quest to, like, create more opportunities for people to engage with each other and rediscover community. I really think, like, what's so exciting about this time is people are looking to local government as, like, that last bastion of, like, stability or frankly, just, like, normal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't expect it from D.C. Honestly, it's chaos. So people are looking to their local leaders to be like, can you provide some sanity? Like, please, like, be the, like, backstop against all this. And I'm really excited because I do think, you know, one of the big focuses of my administration is rebuilding that sense of communal bond and, like, creating a connectivity. And we have a lot of tools at our disposal to do that. And I think that, like, we have to rediscover our own kind of collective common purpose. And I think, like, each of us has a role to play in doing our part to make the Lehigh Valley a better place and rediscovering, like, that civic pride about, like, what we each owe each other and, frankly, what we owe the Valley. And it's big things and little things, you know. Help your neighbor shovel the snow, you know, volunteer where you can, you know.
Do the right thing at the right
time. Do the right thing. Give to a local nonprofit. Support an organization. I think, like, local government is in a place where it can marshal and kind of create that sense of solidarity that we've all lost. And I think we long for. I think people want. They miss that. I think they long for that sort of, like, there's a nostalgia for community that we've lost. And so I think, like, that is something local government has a lot of power to do. And just, frankly, to talk about governance in a different way. I think we have got to break that zero-sum mindset. I think that is what's at the heart of, like, all of our problems, is this just really just divisive notion that like everyone is out for themselves and like if you want to do well, someone else has to do worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a chance to talk about things, as I said, like responsibly, to just, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody can share in the success in the Valley and everybody can belong here.
What's success to you?
Leaving the world a better place than you found it, and a legacy worth remembering.
Josh, thank you for sharing your vision and your approach to leadership. County government may not always make headlines, but it shapes daily life in profound ways, and it's clear you're stepping into this role with intention and urgency. Lehigh County's next chapter is being written right now, and leadership like this helps set the tone for what's possible. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Until next time, lead boldly, listen deeply, and keep blazing new trails.